Okay, this week we're going to have the wonderful opportunity to read Parshas Vayetze. And the Parsha begins, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Haran, that Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he came to Haran. And actually, Rashi notes that the trip wasn't direct. Rather, Yaakov Avinu stopped to study Torah in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eber for 14 years. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, famously explains that when one goes into exile, he needs to learn and prepare by studying Torah's Hagalos, the Torah in the place of Galos, and thus Yaakov's time spent there was well spent and part of the mission. Question has to be raised, of course, what was so special about Shem Be'Eber's yeshiva that the one of Avram and Yitzchak didn't suffice? You see, the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Lamed Ches explains that Avram was zaken b'yoshe by yeshiva, that Yitzchak was zaken b'yoshe by yeshiva, so apparently Yaakov grew up with tents and with yeshivas that he could have learned from. So why is it that Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eber was a place that he had to go to? Why was the time spent learning in his father and grandfather's presence not enough? We once suggested in our Biblical People, Places, and Things series, when we discussed Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eber about 3 years ago, we mentioned in the name of Rav Yaakov Yitzchak of Palanoi, who suggested that Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eber was a place where one learned that when the outside world wasn't in sync with a person's personal values and spiritual strivings, one needs to create a distance to contemplate and plan the next move in order to be on the proper internal stance to confront the outside. In other words, sometimes you need to take a break, take a step, plan, and then go back and re-engage. Now, had Yaakov Avinu followed Avram and Yitzchak, he wouldn't have been prepared to know how to proceed when he was out on his own. He wouldn't have known what to do when the outside world doesn't fit, because he would have always been able to follow Avram Yitzchak where the world always fit. And so therefore, going to Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eber, that gave him the right place. Anyway, Yaakov goes ahead and he stops at the Makom HaMikdash, Vayikach Me'avnei HaMakom. He takes from the stones of the place, and the Rosh Hashiva of Keren V'Yavne, Rav Mordechai Greenberg, Rav Mati Shalita explained that Yaakov Avinu used the stones as a test to see whether he was destined to raise the Shvatim. Rav Mati added that often people assume Shalom equals unity of thought, and maybe that was the issue. But nothing could be further from the truth. The multiplicity of thought, says Ramati, clarifies the color of life and its complexities. The multiplicity of approaches to Yiddish life colors the life and adds to its complexity, but makes clarity out of it. As an example, Ramati pointed out that Ketores has 11 different ingredients, including a chelbana, and the Gemara points out that just like the Ketores needed chelbana, which is a foul-smelling ingredient, so too tefillah needs miposhe Yisrael. Similarly, Chazal point out that a geffen, the grapevines, pray to God. And those geffens, the geffen from the grapevine, the grapes, the eshkolot, pray for the leaves, and the leaves pray for the fruit. Now, the leaves praying for the fruit makes sense, because otherwise they serve no purpose. But why did the fruit pray for the leaves? So Ramati explained that it's the leaves that grant the grape its sweetness because of the protection that it provides. And thus, said Ramati, we see that both the leaves and the pre daven for one another, and the same needs to be true for us as well. We also need to appreciate all the facets of Jewish people. And therefore, we have to develop an appreciation for all the different coloring that the Jewish people provide. And that's the message over here of Vayikach Me'avnei HaMakom. The stones fused together because they recognized the value of the other stones, and they made room for them to be under the head of the tzaddik. When we start dealing with the heads of Am Yisrael, sometimes people also fight, Allah yaniach tzaddik es rosho, Allah yaniach tzaddik es rosho, that everybody argues. But the truth of the matter is, when we start dealing with the rosh tzaddik, we realize that we have to have room for the philosophy that makes sense, and even where the philosophy doesn't make sense, we have to leave room for Allah yaniach tzaddik es rosho, for all of Judaism, all of the Shiftei Kav. Anyway, Yaakov Avinu continues, Vayachalom v'nei sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia shamayma, that there was a ladder on the ground, and the head that reached the heavens. And the Balaturim, interestingly, notes that the gematria of sulam is also the gematria of zek hisei akavod, He also is the gematria of Kol. It's also the gematria of Sinai. It's also the gematria of Mamon and the gematria of Ani. And the question has to be raised, what's the connection between these disparate words? Somebody once pointed out, I think it was Rabbi Teitz, Shalita, he should continue to do well. Rabbi Teitz once said to me that the gematria of Mashiach is Donald Trump, it's also falafel bepita or something like that. What's the connection between these disparate words? Right? So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once commented that Yaakov Avinu tried to make a bridge between heaven and earth, between Torah and secular living. That was, after all, the bracha that he took when he went in to receive the bracha from Yitzchak. And the Torah highlights that this ladder, this sulam, must be firmly on the ground, but it must be directed heavenward. And so comparing sulam and oni, the Balei Torah notes that we need not only think of our own personal security, but with society as a whole. And so therefore, in order to reach the heavens, we need to have our sulam mutzav arza thinking about the ani. And we also need to raise the kol, to raise our voice up for that as well. We have a responsibility to realize that all these things can take place when we're mutzav arza and rosho magia hashamayma. Vayehav gamas rachel mileas, Yaakov Avinu makes it to Laban's, and he meets the two girls, Rachel and Leah, first Rachel, then subsequently Leah, and he also loves Rachel even more than Leah. Vayehav gam es Rachel. What is the usually learned from the word gam? It's usually like an afterthought. That doesn't make sense. Sir Moshe Weinberger, Shalita, once noted that Rachel and Leah represent two types of love. And while Yaakov valued the fiery passion that he had with Rachel, his long-term bread-and-butter relationship came from the daily responsibilities and commitment that his relationship with Leah represented. And Rabbi Weinberger pointed out that a person is measured by that daily commitment, the dedication and dependability throughout life, whether in joyous or difficult times. And it's not only true in marriages. It's true in everything that we do. We are not necessarily measured up by showing up and having the most beautiful voice in our davening on Yom Kippur. Are we showing up day in and day out? Are we involved in tefillah day in and day out? Are we involved in Limud HaTorah day in and day out? Or is it just Shavuos night that we're zugging the ticket? These things make a difference, and therefore the spiritual experience has to be a little bit more clear. Havoli banim v'mayin mesa anochi. Rachel Imenu gets so nervous. She realizes that Leah is having babies and she is not having babies. And so she turns to Yaakov and she says, give me children, if not I'm a dead woman. So Rav Shechter, Shalita would often point out to us, the great distress of Rachel Imenu is in diametric opposition to a famous song, Ha'avar Ayin V'asid Adayin V'ahova Kerif Ayin Dagamin Ayin, that the past is gone and the future is still yet to come, so why are we so nervous? Because Rav Shechter pointed out to us, that's not a Jewish philosophy. A Jewish philosophy is that we always do keep an eye towards the future. And Rachel Imenu cries out to her husband that if she doesn't have any children, she'll consider herself as if she was dead, and as if she accomplished nothing in her lifetime. Even though such an individual identifies with the past, that is not sufficient. One has to have children to be able to think of to link up with the future as well. The only one who is kehova keherifayin is a Rasha, considering that he lives only in the very brief moment of the present. And it's not only the biological children that make a difference. It's what we leave as a legacy for the future. That's part of what we're all about. Either we pick it up and we understand and appreciate it, or we run a tremendous risk of possibly losing it. And so Rachel Imenu decides to take matters into her own hands, and she sees Reuven with the Dudaim, and she strikes a deal with Leah over the Dudaim. So Leah goes outside and she sees Yaakov coming home, and she says, "Kisachor, Eli Tavo, you should come to me, Yaakov. Kisachor secharticha bedudai bani. Right, I have rented you with the dudaim of my sons and of my son." And Sforno notes that this strange story demonstrates that the idea of having and raising children was not for the imahos' own benefit, but rather they raised everything up towards Hashem. So Rav Volbi Zatzal commented that this is the proof that a marriage can and ideally should be built on a base of love, which, when bedrocked in Yira Shamayim, brings souls together, not just a physical desire for one another. There's a depth to it. There's a hope for it. And that's maybe what the Zohar HaKadosh explains as to why Yaakov waited 7 years for Rachel originally, to show that he had a connection to her, and not just a physical desire for her. He wanted something out of the relationship. It's not just something that happened to crop up. Towards the end of the parasha, we have an additional 17 psukim that seem to go on discussing how Yaakov Avinu was able to go ahead and come up with the sheep. The Torah identifies that the sheep that were lagging, right, the sheep that were lagging belonged to Lavan. Now, why did Lavan specifically get the lagging sheep? So the Birkas Avraham of Slanim explained that when things lag behind, they lack a purpose. And that was the case with Lavan as well. Right? Lagging behind meant it lacked day and direction. We have no purpose in that. We are only interested in being involved with a direction and a purpose. Dida bay, kula bay, de lo bay, my bay. And that's one of the big questions that we ask ourselves constantly. And probably should more often when we talk about things like tefillah and like Jewish spiritual occasions. Why are we cooking L'Kavod Shabbos? Why are we setting the table? L'Kavod Shabbos. Why do I come to Shul on Shabbos? L'Kavod Shabbos. Why am I getting together and inviting my friends over? L'Kavod Shabbos. These are all the different things. That's what we are doing. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read, Vayivrach Yaakov, Vayivrach Yisrael Stei Lavan, that Yisrael ran away to Aram. Vayavod Sham Yisrael V'Yishal B'Yishal Shamar. Vayevrach Yaakov stay Aram. Yaakov ran away to Aram. Vayevod Yisrael Sham Beisha, ubi Isha Shamar. And he worked there for a wife, and he did Shmir with a wife. The question has to be raised. The obvious connection to the Torah reading is the idea of Bricha. One is Vayetze Yaakov, one is Vayevrach Yaakov, but the fact of the matter is that that's pretty clear. But there is a duality of action that appears both in the Parsha and in the Haftorah as well, and that is this duality of Avoda and Shmira. And why is that so fundamental? So Rav Yehuda Shaviv of Har Etzion explains that the duality, Avoda and Shmira, implies both active and passive steps. And it's similar to the situation that Hashem takes with us too, in the same way that Yaakov Avinu had to sometimes actively step up to try to build his wife and his family, and sometimes he had to take a step back and hold back. God does the same thing with us. He waits for us to get close to Him and be interested. And when necessary, He doesn't wait so much. He guides us to the proper path. And so that's why the Haftorah concludes, as famously stated, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, that's one of the messages we need to take for ourselves. Speaking of taking things for ourselves, we need to take the Dvarim. We need to take these ideas with us. B'shuvu El Hashem. And we begin, of course, when we return to a Shabbat Shalom to